Blog Talk Radio.
Put the women and children to bed. The squad is here. Other folks coming in later. We're going to be talking about a lot of different sports stories. How you doing, bro?
Everything's everything, man. I'm just trying to keep it in between the ditches. You know how we do that here in the South.
I hear you. Oh, man. We got a lot to talk about, man, and to catch you up on. I don't know if you heard last week's show where we talked about a lot of the stuff with Ice Water, and Ice Water's going to join us a little later, and also Black Thor's going to join us a little later. And I wanted to know what you wanted to start off with, man. I know I threw a lot at you today, so what do you want to start off with?
Well, you know, that whole Ice Water thing, I'll wait. I'll pause on that one because I have some choice thoughts in that regard.
I don't know what that means, but I will wait.
Yes, sir, man. I'm trying to tell you. That's one of the most piccolo player things right there. Come on, man. Really.
Amen.
I understand the calls. That's fine, but still, you can't think of anything better than that. Well, hot wings or something, you know, anything.
Mama call him Clay, I'm gonna call him Clay. So I ain't gonna get on that again. That's my man.
See what I'm saying? That's how I was inclusive. Yeah, but Preseason football, man. Right now, I think that I've been impressed with some of the things I've seen from the Carolina Panthers. I thought they did well. I thought that even though they, just to see Cam Newton back in the mix, and he's kind of rusty, but I think he's going to be ready. Other team I watched was the. God bless. If you hadn't asked me, I could have told you. I watched another game, which I thought was going to be interesting. I think the NFL season is going to be very interesting this year. I think, obviously Peyton Manning is going to make a lot of noise in his passing yards, but I don't think he's going to mount to anything. I think it's time for Eli Manning to go ahead and go ahead and admit that he has to, he has Tourette's.
Oh man, come on, come on.
And a hemorrhoid, and I think that I think about time for Eli to go. So what are your thoughts on your team, man, the Giants this year? What do you think they're going to do?
I don't know, man. I really don't. And I was talking to Ice Water last week, and I really don't pay attention to the preseason. I usually wait until maybe 3 or 4 games in the season to tell
right.
who are the contenders and pretenders. But
right.
speaking of Ice Water, I'm going to bring him in. Ice Water, I'm bringing you in now. We're talking a little bit about preseason football. I got you on the line with Django, the DA Silent.
All right, what's good, Django?
Ain't nothing happening, man. The D is violently silent. So
oh,
sure
no doubt. I feel you.
What's going on with your ice?
Man, just trying to keep your head above water. So that I can take the ice water challenge.
Yes sir. My man. I was just telling my man, whom I'm telling back from how cool that challenge is right now, man. I'm all for it.
Yes sir. Maybe we'll get that together here with the Goon Squad. You feel me?
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I don't know about that. And I got my old thoughts about that. You know, there are countries that don't have water, and we're pouring water out of our heads. So I'm going to pay the donation.
Dude.
But
you
got to
take it to another level with that. You took it to another level with that one.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I be thinking sometimes. I'm kind of deep sometimes. So.
Call it deep, bro. You got it.
Kind of deep sometimes, man. So we're talking a little bit preseason football. Django was talking about the Carolina Panthers. I did get to see part of that game. I was a little impressed with my man, the quarterback, Cam Newton, and you know, trying to fight his way back. But, you know, I'm really not a preseason guy. I'd rather watch the real thing or nothing at all. And so usually 2 or 3 or 4 games in the season, that's when I kind of start picking the contenders and the pretenders in the league. What's your thoughts on that, Ice Water? What do you think about the preseason so far?
Well, I mean, it's kind of like that too, because they play a lot of the young guys early on. They do try to get the starters in just a little bit, but like you said, there are teams that have went undefeated in the preseason, and they did nothing in the regular season. Then there have been teams that have lost all their games, some of the major teams that went to the Super Bowl. So it just kind of really depends on where you're at.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. I mean, then back to your point, Black Puma, I mean, to have preseason and have water on the sidelines when the game don't even count and you got countries without water, hey, man, you're right. I'm with you, dog.
We right here, man. We right here.
You got countries without water, and hey, y'all got water on the sidelines for a preseason game. It don't even count.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
I'm
shouldn't
with
even
you,
have
man.
Water. You know, and deeper still, the mothership connection. All right, man. So you guys keep me up on the preseason next week when it gets a little bit more serious. But the first story I want to get to, because I have Ice Water on the line and he's from Ohio, is the breaking news about Braxton Miller, the Ohio State quarterback who's out for the season with a shoulder injury. What's the thoughts in Ohio, Ice Water, about Braxton Miller?
Well, I mean, really, it's like anybody else. It's kind of crazy because you don't think that a guy that's catching, who's the two-time Big Ten player of the year that was coming in trying to get a third, would be out for the season. You might think, well, maybe he won't play as many games or something to that effect. But
the reality
hit today when the announcement was made by the athletic department to say, hey, he's going to need surgery and it's a wrap. So at that point, you just have to kind of switch gears. It's easy to say that, but I think one of the things that I'm not saying they're going to lock gotcha. Well, they're not going to win the national championship now, and that might be true. But I will say this: they have a lot of talented guys on that team on both sides of the ball. They got a lot of Everybody about 5-6 wide receivers nobody really knows about. He's pretty solid at running back. A lot of talent that had a lot of potential. They're going to be very solid on defense. They're going to confuse a lot of people because they have a strong defensive line, and then they have a defensive secondary that's getting better every day. Of course, it's a question of the offensive line. But overall, here's what I'm saying to you. I think that this is going to force, and they wanted to do this anyway, this is going to force other guys to step up because they wanted to take away Braxton having to be 45% of the offense anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're kind of stuck with doing some other things. Now, the one thing when you look at the quarterback that's going to replace him, guy by the name of J.T. Barrett out of Texas, all, in my opinion, all you really need for him to do is be a manager. Okay, he's not going to be Braxton Miller. Doesn't need to be Braxton Miller. I think they have enough talent overall that they can hold their own, and other guys are just going to have to step up and make plays. And I think last year everybody got caught up, and I get off this real quick. They got caught up in Ohio State winning so many games last 2 years, 24-0. But if you look at the film, go back and look at the films, the majority of their offense was two guys, Braxton Miller and Carlos Hyde. Michigan State exposed them, and they concentrated on those two guys, and that's what you have. But I think this year they're going to try to change it up and kind of show you that they have a little bit more weapons, which they should have been doing in the first place.
Okay, what about Cardale Jones? Is he going to be any kind of impact? Because he's going to be the third-team quarterback. So do you see him overtaking J.T. Barrett? Because he's a redshirt freshman at this particular point.
No doubt. You're right. In fact, a good point. Cardale Jones was the guy who had the majority of – he's had the most snaps. I mean, Barrett has not had any snaps at all of live action. But, in fact, Jones was the guy, the second guy in line behind Miller. But I think something happened along the way, and I think what happened is – They're saying that they think that Barrett is more of the more of the guy who can just the manager, if you will. He manages the game better. So I mean, he throws passes pretty well, and he manages the game and he moves the ball down the field. Where Jones, on the other hand, is still developing in that area. But one thing about Jones, he's a great athlete. He can run the ball real well, and he moves. He's very mobile. But at the same time, we all know, as Johnny Manziel's experience in the Cleveland right now, you can run all you want to, but you got to be able to be balanced if you can and then pass the football.
Right.
I agree with that. Yeah.
So what?
I agree with that.
So what does it look like for Ohio State? Because a lot of people were saying Ohio State was in the mix with its playoff system that they would, and I want to go through some games that are going to be key games down the season that could make a break team making it into the playoffs. But what do you think Ohio State, they're ranked number 5 now in the preseason polls. Where do you think they will rank? Will they even make it to a bowl game or be in the top 10? Where do we kind of see that? Both of you, actually.
Well, I defer to the gentleman first because I've been talking for a while, then I'll jump in.
Well, no, I think that Ohio State is still going to be – I predict that they're going to still – they're going to hold form in that top five, you know, in the top five of the league. And I think that – I really think that Ohio State is going to be a contender for the national championship this year. I really do.
Wow.
That's,
okay.
So I really think so.
Yeah.
I think that – I mean, you got – I mean, obviously they hyping up, you know, not to dive off of these other teams, but they're hyping up. Obviously, they always hyping up someone at the SEC, and rightfully so. I think this year they're looking at Pac to provide either not USC but UCLA, and also you have Oregon coming out of there. But I really think that Ohio State's going to be contending this year. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I think too. Looking at the schedule, though. A lot of times when you look at the Ohio State schedule, they're able to, I think he's right, I think they will be able to kind of get over on certain teams just because of what they bring to the table talent-wise. And I think a lot of people are going to kind of play them short, if you will. But, I mean, they still have talent on both sides of the ball. And the other thing, too, let's be real about this, they have Urban Meyer as a coach. And people tend to forget that it was only like 2 years ago that this team finished 6-7 had no identity. They were dead, lost confidence, and he turns them around and wins 12 games and nobody knows how it was done. They're still scratching their head. In fact, they won 24 games, and people are still trying to figure out how they got it done. So I think with all of those things involved, that Urban Meyer will have those guys ready, because he's not going to settle for people feeling sorry for themselves, which he did when he came in here. He told them immediately, I'm not putting up with this crap. You guys are going to be ready to play, because if you're not, I'll find somebody that can. And that's just how he
is. Yeah, Tim Tebow. Yeah.
Well, let's be real. Okay, see, that's what I think the confusion is. Let's be real. Tim Tebow was a solid college quarterback. And I think people get confused when they try to make college pro quarterbacks pros. Everybody that comes out of college, a great college quarterback, is not going to be a good pro quarterback. So he was successful for what they needed. They won the national championship. But when he went to the pros, I mean, he got exposed. It's kind of like a point guard that can't create his own shot in the NBA. Steve Alford, do you want to see going on? And there's a couple others. I'm just saying. But just because you're great in college does not mean you're going to be great in the pros.
Well, I think Urban Meyer what he did was he really didn't let people expose Tim Tebow, which he probably would try to protect these quarterbacks and knowing their strengths, knowing their weaknesses, and putting them in a situation where they can win, which he did in Florida. So I'm agreeing with you guys, too. I think they'll be in the top 10. I don't know if they'll still hold on to number 5, because one of the games to watch – on this list, it was an article on the internet on this list that there's a few games to kind of look out for. October 25th, Penn State against Ohio State, they're looking at as a pivotal game on Ohio State's schedule that may be a backbreaker as far as them getting into the playoffs. And then the following week, I think they play Michigan State. So those two games will be pivotal games, whether or not – because I see in this playoff system, if you lose one kind of pivotal game, pretty much it's done for you. It's over. So
it's
Ohio State.
Yeah,
right.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I guess the only thing with Penn State, though, is they have a brand-new coach, and they're still not proven. Nobody knows about them. And I think people are taking it for granted. They're just going to come in and dominate. I think I want to see the transition in the Big Ten for James Franklin before we just say they can come in and beat a team like Ohio State, even though they lost Braxton Miller.
I don't think Penn State is going to be a big issue. I think the Michigan State, obviously, but I think it's a big deal. But I don't think that's going to be as big as what they're making it out to be. I really don't.
Yeah. I mean, for that standpoint,
based on what my man just said, mostly.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that, because I think that Michigan State knows what it's like. They have a great coach. I think James Franklin is still learning, and I know he's a good coach because he was a good coach before, at his previous stop at Vanderbilt. But at the same time, Ohio State knows this, and I've been covering them for almost 20 years. Know this, they will not just lay down, particularly with Urban Meyer as the coach. You're not going to lay down and just say, okay, sorry, guys, beat us up. No, somebody's going to pay, and it might be the players, if they don't make this make a positive performance on the field, especially when they have very good talent like they do.
Right. Yeah, and I lived in Ohio for a while. There's a lot of pride in Ohio, especially football. Outside of North Carolina and Texas and Florida, Ohio is one of those states where they take a lot of pride in football. And so I agree with you. They're not going to lay down. It's the next man up. And I look forward to seeing how they come back from this, how they bounce back from this, because I know they will. I'm not a fan of Ohio State. I have other teams that I root for, but I always respect them because they always come out fighting and they always give you a great game. Let's look at some other games that go ahead, DeJango.
No, I was going to agree with you. I was going to say I'm not a fan of Ohio State, but I really think based on what I saw last year, I agree with my man. I say they have a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. They got a good coach, and I think their defense is pretty good. It's like they're going to be pretty solid. I think they're going to be somebody you're going to have to really deal with, focus on this year.
Okay. Now, the other pivotal game there earmarking for all of us, and I think this is going to be a tough game, and this may knock a person, a team out real quick, is on August 30th, you have LSU and Wisconsin. That's going to be a pivotal, pivotal game. Wisconsin, I believe, is ranked in the top 25. LSU is ranked in the top 25. I think the last ranking I saw, they were ranked number 13. And so this is going to be a pivotal game. One of these teams that lose could get knocked out of the top four and not even make the playoff system. What do you guys think?
So where is the game being played?
This will be played in Houston on August 30th. So it won't be played in LSU, which LSU, when you go there and they have that tiger in the corner scaring you when you run out there on the field, that won't be that won't be the issue. And they're not playing in Wisconsin, so it's at a neutral site. You think LSU has it? Okay. Wisconsin is very tough. They may grind it out and slow down that game just enough to edge out LSU. That's an interesting game I want to see. Penn State, Oregon on September 6th, very early in the season. Both of these teams are ranked in the top 10. Oregon always in the mix. What do you guys think about this particular matchup on September 6th?
Wow. I mean, it's a crazy game. I think we're going to find out what Michigan State is made of. A lot of times they lost a lot of people on defense. They got their quarterback back, of course, and they have a nice offensive mix going. But one thing about Oregon, and even when Ohio State played them and was able to beat them, you got to have defense that's strong against them. But the other part of it, too, is you got to be able to score points. Because they're trying to score 70 on you every time they walk on the field. That's just what they have. They have one of the top quarterbacks in the country, and they're going to try to drop 70. So while you might stop them for a minute, they almost guaranteed 35 points. So Michigan State is not going to be able to – they win this game, it's not going to be one of those Big Ten games that you win 21-16. You got to put some points on the board, and we'll see what they're made of. So right now, I think it's a toss-up, but it's at Oregon. And like I said, unless Michigan State is ready right away, they might find it very difficult out there in Eugene to see what's going on with the Ducks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree.
Okay. Let's go to the next matchup they have. Auburn and K-State on September 8th. And they're playing at Kansas City State. Kansas City State is one of those teams that not too many people talk about around the country, but they always seem to be in the mix. They play tough. Auburn, they have Auburn twice on this list. They're going to be playing K-State, and, of course, they're going to be playing Alabama. But let's take K-State first. This matchup is going to be a real, real tough matchup. I don't know if these teams have ever played each other before. I don't know if anybody has been playing each other before. So that is going to be a tough matchup for Auburn because they're in the SEC, and to play a non-conference team this tough, if they beat them, I think that moves them up the ranks if K-State has any kind of a decent year.
What's K-State's preseason ranking?
I don't think they're ranked in the top 10. I think either they're ranked in the top 25 or they're in the honorable mention of the top 25 because I don't have that in front of me. I know I had it last week.
Okay.
This is a team that they were in contention, I think, a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, and they stumbled towards the end of the season. I think it was them and Oregon, and they stumbled because I think they were in the top five at that particular time. The next team that are going to be playing on that game itself,
I'm not sure if while I want to give Kansas State a lot of credit and kudos for being ready for winning between games early last year, I'm not sure if they see anything like Auburn. And I'm just going to say that from the standpoint of the way that the SEC comes at you. And if you're not ready, and I think Auburn was very embarrassed last year, you know, about not winning that national championship after beat Alabama. So I think they had a quarterback back in Marshall. They also have a couple other weapons back. And if Kansas State is not ready, it's kind of like that Michigan State-Oregon game. And I'm not sure Kansas State has been ready to play on that level yet. So they might try and fool me and show me that I don't know what I'm talking about, and that would be cool. But we know Auburn has been measured the last couple of years and been able to take Alabama like that. So Kansas State can at least prove that they're ready and deserve to be in the top 10. But if not, they can get their world rocked and get blown out at home.
Okay. At home, because they play pretty tough at home. So
And
people are saying that they're very underrated. They're probably one of the most underrated teams in the country right now.
We're going to find out.
All right. Yeah, we're going to find out. UCLA at Arizona State on September 25th.
UCLA.
Django, I know you like UCLA. They're going to be playing at Arizona State on September 25th.
Okay. Let me think about it for a minute. UCLA.
Okay.
Pretty much.
A New York minute. Okay. So you have no faith in the Sun Devil. Okay.
UCLA, baby.
All right. So it'll be on a Thursday night. We'll be watching that. They have Alabama and Ole Miss. I really don't understand this one. Alabama at Ole Miss. Is there something out there about Ole Miss that I'm missing?
Well,
Ole Miss normally comes in cycles, man. They have a season or two, and it's not about time for them to start, you know, kicking up a little bit, because they know they have, you know, a couple of seasons, then they'll drift off for a while because they're in the SEC. But they ain't no joke, man. You got to come in and play them.
Right, I agree with that 100%. I mean, they usually have a very strong defense. The one time that they do struggle, you look around, you might say, what are they bringing offensively? But at the same time, I think that when you look at Saban, Nick Saban is like, look, he's very disappointed in what happened to them last year. And he's going to be ready to kind of get his team back on track to kind of get back to that playoff. So, If Mississippi State is ready to go, that's great. But if they're not, I mean, like I said, I hate to say it's like big brother, little brother, Ole Miss, big brother, little brother. But Alabama, we all know about it, it's no joke. And Nick Saban does not like to lose. They got exposed last year. They even lost in a bowl game. So I'm sure that he's been in those guys' heads telling them that they're getting it's time to show what we're made of. And we don't need any hiccups against a team like Ole Miss.
Okay. Because I felt like I was missing something. I know Ole Miss runs the no-huddle offense, and they say it gives Nick Saban problems, but I don't see Ole Miss giving Alabama any problems. I really don't. And I don't know why this game is on this list.
Right. One thing I feel to ask in all the matchups you just named as key matchups is, the question I feel to ask is, who is that team, the team's favorite play prior to that game? That's the one.
Good question.
Who's Ole Miss play before that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or who does Alabama play before that? Because that may be what they're looking at. That's a good point. Because if you come off a big win or a big loss or a letdown, then that may sometimes that affects the team coming back the next week. Or you get a injured player, or you get banged up by a real physical opponent. So that could be. That's a great question.
Yeah, one of the things that they're showing here, looking at the Ole Miss schedule, they kind of have like Cupcake City. Now they play Boise State coming out the box, which is not Cupcake City. They play Vanderbilt, then Louisiana Lafayette, and then they play Memphis right before facing Alabama.
Okay.
Mm.
Wow.
They're gonna get kicked in the teeth.
Who's gonna get kicked in the teeth? Ole Miss?
Ole Miss will get kicked in the teeth, man.
Because they have an easy game before Alabama?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, no. Can I add something else to that real quick? That's not what I agree with that. But the other part that's gonna hurt them is the fact that 2 weeks prior to that game, the week before, Alabama has a bye. And 2 weeks prior before that, they play Florida. So he's right. Alabama was going to that game.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
They're going to keep him in seat because they're going to fall to the security. They're going to be out there like, yeah, we got this, man. We can do it. Hey, man, you know what we did last week? We can do the same thing this week. Well, they know us. They're going to be sitting in the locker room.
win, lose, or draw. Alabama's like, we lost to Florida. Oh, we got to crush these dudes. We beat Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We got to crush these dudes. So same thing. Pick your place.
Yeah, and the date is October 4th, so everybody is jockeying for position at that particular time. So there's no let up at that particular time. It's almost better to lose very early in the season than later in the middle or later in the season.
Mm-hmm.
So good luck with that, Ole Miss. I have no confidence that you guys will win that game.
if they pull that off, and I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, if they pull it off, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe somebody knows something more than me. Wouldn't be the first time. Baylor in Texas on October 4th, same day. Pivotal game. You got Charlie Strong, the new coach of the Longhorns. You have Baylor, who's been rolling for the last couple of years. What do you guys think about that? Let's go to Django first. What do you think about Texas and Baylor?
At Baylor?
It is at Texas.
I'm going to go with Baylor on that one. I'm still going to go with Baylor.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Simple math. I ain't going to give no – I'm just going to say I'm going with Baylor.
So you're picking the away team?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And ice water.
Wow, you put it out there. As much as I love to give Charlie Strong some love right now.
Wow.
I was just saying, I want to see him do well. I do want to see him do well. But at the same time, you know, Baylor showed us in the last few seasons that they score a lot of points. And with that being said, they score a lot of points. And if they have guys coming back, you know, you got guys coming back, guys making things happen, then you're going to have to say to yourself, my question is why I would choose Baylor is the fact that I need to see Texas, what they're going to do offensively. I know they're going to be strong defensively because that's the way that Charlie Strong operates. But what does he have down there? I heard a couple, they might be playing even a dual quarterback type situation down in Texas. And you play a team like Baylor. Right, but you know what I'm saying? But that's what means that they don't have confidence in one guy or they're struggling to find a difference maker. And one thing Baylor can do, has done in the last couple of seasons, they score points. So there might just be a shootout that Baylor wins. And I think that's what a lot of people will be seeing. So they average 35 points a game and you only got 21. Do the math.
Mm-hmm.
So Baylor.
You shop, Ice Pick.
Did you call my man Ice Pick? It's Ice Water, man. Ice Water.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. My bad.
We're here together. Now, he called me that the same way in about 6 weeks. I'm going to say, we got a problem. We got a serious
problem. You know how people, it's not worth it. Look, the name is it's Ice Water, man.
Yeah.
I got the ice pick.
Ice pick, ice cream.
Ice cube, vanilla ice, ice tea.
Yeah.
Sound like Brady on stand for this, huh?
You can tell that vanilla ice piece now. Come on now.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the next game. I'm going to skip the Penn State, Ohio State because we already did that one. Let's go to Stanford and Oregon, November 1st. I want to watch this game. I don't know who's going to win this game.
Wow.
Stanford and Oregon, they're playing at Oregon. Everybody's sleeping on Stanford. I don't understand it. They have won last 2 years over Oregon. I don't understand why people are sleeping on Stanford.
Well, let's be real about this. Stanford, even when they have good teams, even before, even around the time of Andrew Luck, okay, they're never really the sexy team, okay? You don't go
right,
to
I was about
like,
saying,
oh, man. Yeah, they're
San Antonio Spurs in that matchup.
Yeah. You just don't go like, that's a sexy pick. You know, exactly. But you look at Oregon. They play fast. They got a bunch of uniforms. They got 12 uniforms. They're sponsored by
mm-hmm.
Nike. They got the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody
mm-hmm.
loves them. And they score a lot. Of, you're like, oh, yeah, those are the guys. But then you look at, like you said, San Antonio Spurs of college football, Stanford. You don't hear about the guys until they go undefeated or they get ready to go to a bowl game. Then you go, oh, okay, that was Andrew Luck. That's this guy. Because you know what? I'll tell somebody this real quick. To me, even though they're out west, Stanford plays old school Big Ten football, bro.
Oh, yeah.
They hit you in the mouth defensively, and they say, you can run as fast as you want to, but sooner or later, we're going to slow you down. We will catch you. And that's what they do.
Yeah.
They make it happen.
See? That's what I'm talking about right there. I'm telling you, man. He's speaking. That boy, he's sharp. He's sharp.
Stanford. Stanford they remind me of the old Green Bay Packers. You know it's coming, but stop it. They have the double tight end packages. They run the ball down your throat. They hit their tight ends. They run the ball. They don't do anything fancy. But stop it. And teams haven't been able to stop it. So that's why I'm really kind of surprised that nobody's talking about Stanford. And they've been in the top five for I don't know how many years, for a lot of years now. And they've beaten the dust for the last 2 years. I don't know what's changed there. I don't know.
But
it should
still,
you
can say the same thing about Oregon. I'm sorry. You know what they're going to do, but can you stop them? Now, yeah, they beat them a couple of times, yeah. But still, Oregon's still going to be the favorite in Vegas. If Oregon and Stanford meet right now, if they meet a week after Stanford beat them, Oregon's still going to be the favorite.
No doubt. I agree with you there. I do say this, that one thing Stanford does, like you said, with the way they play, like used to old school Big Ten teams is, you know, for all of the fast football teams, and some of them are just so talented that they will beat you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
The best way to hurt and stop or slow down a fast team is to hit them in the mouth defensively. You put pressure on the quarterback, you stick the wide receivers, you punish the running backs, and then we'll find out what they're made of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they run their triangle offense on you.
when you hit the guy a couple times, you hit a running back or a wide receiver come across the middle a couple times, and then after a while he get hit so much, he turns around and says, man, I ain't catching that ball no more.
Right. Yeah. Right.
He started looking around. Yep. Started looking around like, where's that guy at? And that's what Stanford does.
Okay. Let's go to Florida State and Florida. And this
game
is this game is November 29th. So
yes,
after 30 days, this game is going to take place Florida at Florida State. So DeJango's already picking Florida State. I'm a little afraid of this game right here.
What?
Why?
I'm a little afraid.
Tell me why.
I'm a little afraid. One of the reasons why is because it's an interstate rivalry, and anything can happen. Just like the next game we're going to go to after we talk about Florida State and Florida, Auburn, Alabama. Who would have thought Auburn would have won on a 100-plus yard run back from a kick? And so I'm a little afraid of Florida State. Think about Florida State's defending champion, and everybody's going after them like it's a national championship. So now you're in November 29th. You guys played sports before. I know me and DeJango, we played football before. At the end of the season, your body is still sore from the first three games of the season. So I'm a little afraid about this particular game with Florida State.
let me just chime in here real quick and say, let me just put it right here. If Florida State, let me say this, is clicking as they expected to by November, it's a wrap. They could play a goddamn on Dolphins that day. I'm telling you, it ain't gonna matter. If Florida State clicking like they expect to be clicking this year, you got a quarterback that's gonna be seasoned. Only they're gonna do to mess him up is either he get hurt or they bring another white girl in there. That's it, dude. Come on, dude. This dude is so far in the pocket, man. I'm telling you right now. He made Tony Romo look like that daggone little Laura Ingalls from daggone Little House on the Prairie.
You know what? And I can see that because here's the thing. Let's be real about this. As long as Winston's healthy and he can move forward, it's a wrap because most times the rivalries, I'm like, yeah, I'm with you. Definitely with the Auburn-Alabama rivalry. But I think in this scenario, it's Florida. Winston is like, you know what, I need to let them know that we still the kings of Florida. And he knows they're going to be getting closer to that playoff situation, too. And they can't afford to slip up that late. If you're going to slip up, you need to slip up early in the season. And I think they're going to be on full tilt unless he gets hurt later in the season.
Right. If they're in any type of contention by November, I'm telling you right now, hey, Puma, I'm telling you, bro, you can go ahead and check that one off right there.
Okay, I'm putting a star on that game. You hear my pen clicking? That's on November 29th, and that's probably a day game because the other premier game, I'm pretty much sure that's going to be played on CBS, is Auburn at Alabama.
Are they playing that on the SEC network?
I'm not sure, but usually that big game is on CBS. Every year.
Okay.
So
I know they just started the SEC network this year.
Yeah, maybe. But that's a network game right there. I could see that on right after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So Icewater, what you got?
Yes, sir. Well, you know, you make it very difficult for me, but I tell you what. I think you know, Auburn had a nice run last year. They had a couple fluke plays. I think a lot of people, they were great. They got two fluke plays. The one where he did, the one where the guy ran it all the way back off the of a missed field goal. And I think they had another ball where the ball was tapped in the air and the receiver caught it and ran it for about 57 yards for a touchdown in the game they was trailing. So I'll tell you this. The jig is up. The luck is over. It's time for that tie. Roll Tide's coming back, baby. Roll Tide.
Okay.
You got lucky. You didn't win it. It's a wrap. It's over. Roll Tide.
Django, you rolling with the tide, man. Well, Tara, the way I see it, ice water, I think some of your cues done melted. I think that I think Auburn, with that running game they got this year, with the running game they had established last year, they're going to be a beast if they had that line. If they had a line that has the talent that they had last year, to Auburn's going to be a beast to beat because with that running game, it's something that you're not used to. With that running game, what you have is they're going to wear the clock down and wear the defense down.
Well, I can respect that. Only thing I think it is, we need to look back at that roster because I think the rapper's son is gone. You know what I'm talking about? I think he didn't leave. He didn't go to the league. You sure about that? He didn't go to the league. We'll check that one out. But if he went to the league, it's a wrap. You know that, right?
Yeah. Well, but you got to remember now to have a line to able to support that type of running game. I mean, come on, dude. Again, that's one of them examples like the triangle offense. You just plug and play. Get you another running back that has that potential and a quarterback. The line is going to – I'm serious. That's the key to that one for me, what I see. Now, I could be wrong,
No, I'm with you on the plug and play. I agree with the plug and play. But I think the thing is, though, that the game's going to be so close because of what the two teams represent.
Mm-hmm.
If we were talking about Wisconsin or Ohio State, I'd be like, all right, I got you. But I think that Alabama was right, even though they didn't play well that game, they were right in the mix.
Yeah.
And if the running back or somebody's not a – well, Marshall, the quarterback, will be looking to be a difference maker. Does he have enough weapons, as you said? Maybe he does. Maybe they do. But I'm just saying it's going to take something very special for them to get it done, because any play or any one or two plays can be the difference in this game. Because, you know, both of them are going to bring it. And I just think that along with Alabama losing last year, they will have a chip on their shoulder looking at Auburn. So if Auburn comes correct and they win, they could, no doubt they can win the game. I don't say they can't. But if they slip one thing, Nick Saban going to try to put them to sleep because he was mad at them last year.
We're playing that, man.
Auburn or Alabama?
They're playing at Alabama.
Yeah.
Oh, snap. Oh, snap.
I think, yeah.
Oh. My stomach's starting to hurt. I don't know.
I just didn't shake it up good enough. All right. Let's take a break, and we will be back.
I'm your idol, the highest title, numero uno. I'm not a Puerto Rican, but I'm speaking so that you know. And understand I got the gift of speech, and it's a blessing. So listen to the lesson I preach. I talk sense condensed into the form of a poem. Full of knowledge from my toes to the top of my dome. I'm kinda young, but my tongue speaks maturity. I'm not a child, I don't need nothing for security. I get paid when my record is played, to put it short. I got it made. I'm outspoken, my language is broken into a slang, but it's just the dialect that I select when I hang. I play it cool, the schooling is all that I'm about, just fooling with the girlies that's busting it out. I'm special ed and you can tell by the style that I use. I'm creatively superior, yo. I never lose, I never lost, cause I'm the boss and never will, cause I'm still the champion. Chief one won't lose until I choose, which I won't, cause I don't retreat. I run you over like a truck and leave you dead in the street. You're inviting me a titan to a battle. Why? I don't need your respect, cause I got it made.
Welcome back to the Boomshot Sports Radio Show. We got the Django and Ice Water. If you want to call in to the show, it's 914-219-0880. I see a few of you on the line. If you want to speak, raise your hand. We'll bring you in with your question. Follow us on Twitter at Goon Squad Sports or Facebook, the Goon Squad, Sports Radio page. And you can get updates on different events, photographs, different stories. We post a lot of things on that page, so check us out on that. And you can listen to this show if you miss any part of this show by logging right here to WYDL Radio on Blog Talk Radio. Here's where I want to go next. Before I go into the NBA season and talk about the World Cup of Basketball, Roc Nation wins a bid. Roc Nation wins the bid to promote fights. So I know my man Icewater, this is big news for you because we talked about the fight game last week. What do you think about, is this good for boxing that Roc Nation and Jay-Z, who's a music mogul, is going into the fight game?
Well, it makes things interesting, I tell you that much, Puma. I think that they saw, it's like anything else, they saw an arena where there's money still to be made, I think it's going to be something that you see Floyd Mayweather get into once he's done. And if you get the right fighters, because, you know, it was all for years, it's been 1-2 punch. It was the Don Kings and Bob Arums of the world. And now it's turning to Top Rank and the Golden Boy with Oscar De La Hoya. But I think that if they keep this talent rolling and keep fights interesting and know the right fights to put together, and you get in right now, then I think you can make some money off of it. Now, it might get too crowded, but, you know, somebody over there in Rock Nation with Jay-Z doing some homework, because there's opportunities now. There's a lot of talent over there, and there's money to be made. You connect with a lot of guys that are free agents now, working with certain working in from the boxing arena, and you are you win the bid to promote the right fight, and you hook up with Showtime or HBO, and you can get paid. So I mean, somebody knows something over there, but we'll see what you know how they know how to work inside the game to become one of the top dogs.
Okay, Django.
I think that my man's investing in this as a tax write-off, as well as to lower his level of income for the child support he's gonna get hit from Beyonce. That's what I think. I think got nothing to do with what we talking about.
Come on, man! You think Jay-Z and Beyonce are done? That's why you think he's trying to load up and stack up.
Man, shoot. Come on, dog. Come on, dog.
Okay.
Think about
it. Can I can see that. Let me just say this. There, I know a couple historically black colleges that he can drop some money on right now, baby. And that would love to help him with the tax write-off.
Amen.
Look, I got another point right now.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Shout out to Wilberforce. Please. Help out Wilberforce, our alma mater, with donating whatever. If you want to tag right off, please donate for that. But I think this may be I get a feeling that Rock Nation Sports are stepping over some boundaries that I don't know if there are some people who are going to be happy about this. And that's all I'm going to say about that. But the fight game has been coveted by folks that that aren't too, you know, aren't too much on the legal side. I'll say that. And so them stepping into this arena, I don't know. It may be stepping into – because as we know it right now, and correct me if I'm wrong, is boxing regulated?
On that level, is it?
I don't think so. Is it? I'm trying to think. It is to a point. But let's be real. It's kind of like it's regulated, but at the same time, it's like when Floyd Mayweather was supposed to go to jail, right?
Mm-hmm.
The last time, right away, then it came up to the point that he could make the city of Las Vegas so many millions of dollars. Then they found a way to kind of postpone his entry into the prison system. So it's regulated, but it's also not as regulated as we may think it should be because, you know, money talks and that other stuff walks. Let's be real about that.
I'm gonna bring in Black Thor also in here, but boxing's not regulated. And so I'm really kind of concerned. I don't know these guys. Let me put that out there. I don't know Rock Nation. I don't know Jay-Z. I don't know any of these guys. But it seems to me that boxing, we've all been seeing fights that go, you know what, that doesn't look on the up and up. And we kind of know that something's not right about it. And it's always been closed to certain segments of society. I don't know if this is a classic move. Now, I love the move they made with representing Kevin Durant, Robinson Cano, Victor Cruz, CC Sabathia, and they're going after other athletes. But the fight game, that's a whole nother animal. I'm not sure if they are on that level yet or they step on too many toes or if things don't go the way certain people want them to go, because there's a lot of money in this, whether or not they're kind of swimming in deep water or in a boat without a paddle at some particular point. Just my opinion.
Yeah.
Black Door, you there?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. That was interesting.
Hello, baby.
Say hello to Ice Water and Django.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Thor. What up?
Going ain't that much. What's going on?
Hanging in, bro. Hanging in.
Like,
okay,
one.
So what do you think about it, Black Thor? I mean, hey, Roc Nation is in the fight game now.
You know what? It's interesting. I applaud them on a lot of levels. I mean, I understand your apprehension, but for so long, man, there hasn't been black representation of these players, athletes in general. So the fact that they've been trying to step into boxing, I applaud them on that level, and I wish them the best. I'm not like you, I have a little hesitation, but boxing, hopefully they can bring boxing back, because maybe boxing is lost anyway. So hopefully they can do something to kind of spur, pull some people through the ranks that could bring boxing to a new level. But I'm just happy that finally that some of our athletes are starting to look at people of their own shade and say, hey, they represent me, as opposed to people that don't care that much about them and have them half the time keep their mouth shut just worrying about their brand and going on. So and in that sense, I'm thrilled.
Okay. So I just want to, you're around this a lot. If I'm representing Jay-Z, what should I tell Jay-Z and Roc Nation to watch out for?
That for me?
Yeah, that's for Ice Water.
Yeah, I just say overall, you just have to understand the logistics of it. And part of the logistics is a lot of these boxers now are not loyal to like a Bob Arum or like Golden Boy or Top Rank. They're kind of getting their own managers, you know. And one of the main players right now is a guy by the name of Al Haymon. And Al Haymon works a lot closely with Floyd Mayweather, but he's also across the board. So a lot of the guys that would normally say one guy, some group is with HBO, another group might be with Showtime or Golden Boy. He has like guys across the different levels. And what he's doing is guys are signing with him because they want to get closer to the better talent. Like, for instance, guys like Madonna and other cats like that are signing with him because they're thinking they might have a shot at Floyd Mayweather before he leaves or other top-notch guys who have titles. And if they know they sign with somebody else, they're not going to get that opportunity. And when you're an agent or a guy that really represents you like that, you can kind of do what you want to as long as it's under the guidelines of what he wants you to do. And it's all about trying to get the best fight and the most money for these guys now.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
So any advice? So what to watch out for? What pitfalls might be out there? Because I got have a feeling that Floyd Mayweather is going out there after he finished fighting. He's going to be a promoter. He's going to have a chance to promote different fighters. I think he's going to cross over to promote athletes because he's already rubbing elbows with different athletes. I mean, he's on Instagram with Johnny Manziel and Justin Bieber. I don't understand that, but anyway, you know, grown man hanging around with Justin Bieber. That's another show for another time. So what kind of advice would you – what kind of things that they need to watch out for, especially being, as Black Thor pointed out, being African-American and representing African-American and Latino fighters or fighters of any shade, race, or color?
Like you said, and I definitely Thor would jump on this as well, but it's like this. First of all, they got to find somebody that knows what's going on in the fight game, okay?
Okay.
Because that's one thing Floyd has done. Floyd, even when he was having a frustrating issue with Oscar De La Hoya, Golden Boy right now, he has people in his corner that have been in the fight game for a long time, and he's hired people, and he keeps people close for doing promotions. While his company, Mayweather Promotions, is the main product, they have people that do, like, for instance, promotions for them, that people like Golden Boy that control the venue, do other things like that. They already let the people that are already moving forward in the game and know the game well, they use them and pay them a one-time fee, and they get all of the pay-per-view and the other monies that come through. So I think if they go out there with not knowing anything and spending money on fights that nobody's going to buy, then I think I'm going to be in trouble. The other part of it, too, is, like you said, you got to know the ins and outs of getting the licenses, the right licenses in the right state, and making sure that the guys that you do work with are accountable and credible when it comes time to fight, because that's the one thing you can do, canceling fights or not getting guys good fights, then I think that's going to be a quick death for this partnership they're looking into in boxing.
Okay. All right. So this will be interesting. I don't know if anybody else has any thoughts about this, but I hope they do well. I don't want to put it out there that I'm looking for them to fail or anything or fall on their face. I hope they do well. But I'm really kind of leery about folks getting into the fight game when it's not regulated. It's kind of anything goes. And it seems to me a little shady. And maybe that's why you have less interest in fighting. Okay. Black Thor, you mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, so I have a list of the top richest NBA players in the world. And so we're going to go from 10 on to number 1. So number 10, and I want you guys' thoughts about these guys, is Gary Payton at $130 million out in the country. You have number 9, Tim Duncan at $150 million. And I was thinking that Tim Duncan was probably not on his list because he didn't sign for big money when he re-signed with the Spurs a few weeks ago. So I was really surprised he was on this list. Grant Hill is at $180 million. And I think Grant Hill is a nice guy. I have nothing against him other than he played for Duke. But he was stealing.
Yeah. Oh, please, yeah.
I don't remember Grant Hill playing a full season in the NBA. I don't remember him playing a full season in the NBA.
Unless it was with the Phoenix Suns if he did. It was with the Suns if he did.
I don't remember. Who did he play? Another reason why I hate him, because he's married to Tamia. He's $180 million, a millionaire, and he's married to Tamia. I hate this guy. I hate him.
I think he personally killed like a recording career, too, by him.
Ooh.
Wow. Hey, that's a strong word.
Okay. I just like him a lot. How about that? I'm hating.
Kevin
Garnett, $180 million. I never thought Kevin Garnett was holding on to his money, but he's at number 7 at $180 million. Hakeem Olajuwon. $200 million.
They still owe him some.
Yeah.
What's that?
They still owe him money.
Yeah.
Why you say that, man?
Dude, Olajuwon. Dude, there isn't a big man in the history in the NBA who had the footwork and the skills of big man as Olajuwon. I'm sorry, not one.
I'm wondering what LeBron paid him when he worked with him over the summer and brought him through championship rings. I wonder what he paid Olajuwon.
LeBron paid
Olajuwon
$20 million.
Yeah, he had to pay him something because I'm telling you, man, LeBron should be scared to go down, you know, go to bang down loans. He started working with Olajuwon. So I'm wondering what he paid him.
$20 million. I guarantee you.
$20 million.
Give me championship. I get you a championship. $20 million. Guaranteed. $20 million.
I hope so. I mean, he probably won a little more than that. He was a dominant now low. He started working with Olajuwon.
Right.
Well, wasn't Dwight Howard paying him too? Dwight Howard was working out with him.
Yeah, but I think Dwight Howard.
Man.
Wow, don't listen.
Man, come on. Hold up, wait a minute. Pump your brakes. Wait a minute. Hold up. Wait. What? Dwight Howard was working with who?
Olajuwon.
Yeah.
Man, Dwight Howard probably was working with Flavor Flav. But you weren't working with no Olajuwon.
Nah, that brother don't listen. If he was, he don't listen. Obviously, he doesn't listen.
Like say, wasting his money, so it is what it is. A lot of my still cash that check, you hear me?
Yeah. I have to agree with Django. Olajuwon had some footwork and moves that I've never seen any other big man have. And it was just amazing. And every time I think about him, I think about how he embarrassed David Robinson
after
David Robinson won the MVP. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah,
David Robinson thinking it was two of them. Wow.
David Robinson still not good. Kind of like Lewis Swan still waking up being afraid and nervous about Jack Tatum. I'm going to leave that for another day. Anyway.
Okay. That's number five. LeBron James is at number five with $250 million. I thought LeBron had more than that.
Hmm.
He's on every commercial.
Yeah.
He's on Sprite. He's on Powerade. He's on McDonald's commercial. He's on everything.
Him and Kimbo Slice coming out with a movie.
Kimbo Slice.
Yeah.
Whoa.
All right. Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
$250 million.
Yes.
He's stealing at his last few years.
Yeah. His last contract. He's doing a little robbery himself.
No doubt. But also $260 million. I think that's why, and no disrespect to him, but that's why he canceled that divorce. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah. Dr. Shaquille O'Neal is at $350 million.
Yes. Yes. And they still owe him some money.
Who still owe him money?
And that's what broken backboards. They still owe him money. Believe.
He's in powder commercials. He's in some kind of ointment rub commercial. He's in a Buick commercial. I don't believe those Buick commercials because Shaq can't fit in a Buick.
No, he can't fit. Nah, I doubt that.
They never showed him get in that car. They showed him reach for the door and next thing you know, they took the whole side off that car and shut him in it and then put the side pop the side up with a damn stick.
All you remember him is him pointing his finger around the vehicle and pointing at you, telling you, let's go. That's all he did. You did it for 15 seconds and you're good to go.
Yeah, I'm here. You can take, dude, when they show up in that car, you can take his blood pressure.
You know the first thing about Shaq, though, that's $350 million after divorce. That brother got divorced, so you got to kind of be back to that, isn't he? You might have been a little higher if you ain't got to pay out.
Yeah, $350 ain't bad, though. $350 ain't bad, I'm going to tell you. It's not bad at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. And he's still making dough. He's in movies. He's really smart. He had a divorce settlement where I think his ex-wife was trying to get on a reality TV show. And in the clause, it said that she could not put the children in. And she tried, and he whacked her on it, like, you can't do it. You cannot put my children in these reality TV shows. Which I don't understand those reality TV shows of basketball wives. They're not married to these guys anymore. Why do they call themselves basketball wives?
Because they get paid. Because you got some Yes, because you got some dangling participles out here who will watch that jump.
Right.
Oh, it's highly rated.
Yeah. Yeah. So, say, people are looking for secrets, man. That's what it's all about, too.
Yeah.
They want dirt on these guys, and they want to know, really? He don't brush his teeth in the morning? Oh, my God. You know, they're looking for some dirt, bro. It's haters. A lot of haters out there who watch.
Well, it's more so of those shows, people watch them to make them, mostly they watch them to make them feel good, of, to make them feel good about themselves. That's what it is.
True, 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 true.
Yeah. Okay, the next two probably won't surprise anybody, but I thought number two, Magic Johnson, would be higher than number one guy. Because Magic seems to have, and he's at $500 million, Magic seems to have a movie theater in every city in the United States. He seems to have his hands in a lot of stuff. And so I thought he'd be higher than $500 million. Because he
his movie theaters
to be
are not, they don't stretch across the country. They don't, these movie theaters, first of all, don't stretch across the country. So that's first. His movie theaters don't. His Starbucks, yeah, he has that. He has some other stuff. He's invested in, you know, professional baseball and all that jive. But, you know, realistically, come on, dude. Everybody know who the most wealthy dang on NBA player in history.
Yeah.
There's no question. Magic does he have a pair of shoes on right now?
Did Magic ever stop wearing Converse?
No, he's still wearing
them. Why? Because I don't remember Magic kind of. Yeah, because he's staying with Converse, right?
Yeah, he's probably still wearing
them. No, I don't care. He's on the right now. Who the hell are you going to wear some Converse? No.
That's my point. So he never went with Nike or Adidas, so he stayed with Converse, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. So Michael Jordan is at $1 billion, and he stayed with Nike, which is the number one brand when it comes to sports and athletics and all that other stuff. And Adidas is making a push and trying to get there, but Michael Jordan is at $1 billion. And so he's married again. I think he has twins.
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Well, let you know how big Jordan is in that aspect. Jordan made Nike so much money, they gave him his own brand.
Yeah.
That's with the Jordan brand. And he made so much money. They're like, you know what? We don't even need no more money. Just here, do your own thing. Whatever you want to do. We done. We straight. That's how
big. Dude. Yeah, you got to give it up. You know, I mean, you know what I'm talking about? That's, when you were talking earlier about in football, you were saying, to have a scheme or a strategy, and you know it's coming, but can you stop it? Trying to offense, Michael Jordan, that's pretty much, dude, that exemplifies that whole perspective right there, that strategy. You know what's coming. Can you stop it? That's it.
And he brings up, like you said, and he brings up the guys in, too, that jumps on the band, too, because everybody now wants to be a part of it. Carmelo, Derek Jeter, I mean, let's go down the line.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But these guys are making the money, and my question would be to you guys, because I know I started out saying this, asking this, because I know me and Black Thought thought about this and talked about this, is, are these players making too much money?
No, I wouldn't say. I mean, no, I wouldn't say that. Because if the owners can afford to pay them,
exactly.
I wouldn't say that. Yeah, if they can afford to pay them, yeah, I wouldn't say. I think sometimes the owners and teams spend the money foolishly in certain areas.
Right.
But if they can afford to pay, you know, what they're paying them, then you know, it says that based on what they're making, if they can shell it out, yeah, no, not at all. Not at all.
I agree with you on that because I think that, like you said, I mean, like the difference between if LeBron's making $20 million a year and then Tim Duncan only wants 10, shame on Tim. You feel me? If the market allows for that $20 million, then, I mean, I have a mad problem with that because you said the owners, whatever they're paying out, they can afford to pay.
Well, let me just add to that. And I add to that to say, to put it in perspective, I still remember, vividly remember when Michael Jordan went and did his baseball thing. And when Michael Jordan announced he was coming back to play basketball, he was talking about the impact it had on the stock market. So I want you to think about that for a minute. When he said he's coming back to play basketball, they said it had an impact on the stock market because there's things in companies that are invested that stand to, you know, have an increase in sales based on the fact that this guy is coming back to the sport. So you're talking stuff that you don't even think about, from concessions to, I mean, to programs to, you know, anything you can think of. A hotel ownership, everything, man, it has an impact. It had an impact on the stock market. So to have that type of power and impact, to me, tells me that the money they pay them is warranted. I mean, you know, in the past, these guys weren't educated, you know, didn't have the agents that wasn't educated enough to know what type of impact they had, you know. And I think they may have, but they were, as the league grew and as it became more popular, those guys are commodities, man. So they recognize what their value and their worth is. I mean, shoot, dude. $500 million and some of that stuff Magic, and let's be honest, Magic and Jordan made after their fit in the sport. A lot of that. So, but still, when you can say you're coming back to something and it changes the stock market, come on, dude. Really? That's amazing.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a lot of money involved. A lot of money.
Yeah, because I look at some of the salaries of the guys that play that aren't these marquee guys, and I'm like, man, this guy averages 5 points, 2 rebounds a game. He's a multimillionaire. And this guy averages 22, you know. And so I'm like, are they getting paid too much? Is it fair?
In that sense, you have a point, because I mean that's the problem I have with basketball right now. I mean, because you know, I grew up watching Walt Frazier, these guys here, and you got this. I'm calling some bums in the league now. If you can't make a free throw shot at least 80% of the time, I'm sorry, because you should be able to practice enough to where the majority of times you go up there, you knock it down. If you go up there clinking, bang, bang, bang. To me, you're stealing money. Like you said about Grant Hill earlier, stole money. You're stealing money. You're basically stealing money. If you're a player where your coach, in his mind, can't count on you to be on the floor in the fourth quarter, but yet you're picking up $6 million a year, you're stealing money. You're stealing money.
Well, that's one way of looking at it, but you got to consider, too, and again, it goes back to it's all about business. It's entertainment business. So it's like, to me, and I'm going off on the subject to make my point. Sometimes you see kids, and I see people going talking that the kids don't know any better, the kids doing this, and I'm always going, ain't the kids the parents? Well, the same thing with the players. It ain't the players. It's not the players. It's the coaching, the league. Because if they start to hit them in the pocket, so by them not hitting free throws, if it's starting to decrease in sales and in ticket sales, then they'll do something about it. But the fact of the matter is, unfortunately, people come to see those players play and miss free throws as part of the game, and it doesn't impact them in the pocket. So that's why they start emphasizing so much. They start going, forget, you know, why we spend all this time emphasizing that. We stand to make money because of the entertainment business again now. Guys, keep in mind, it's not like high school. This is entertainment business. So we're still making profit. With Paul George or somebody on the court.
I get that point, but here's the point. I mean, because the original question was, are they paying the players too much? Some players you're not, because they're worth it. I mean, if you look at the Michael Jordans or whatever, when you they were consistently doing what they did. Like some of these players that come out here, you don't know what you're going to get when you put the ball in their hand and they have the big contract. That's what I question. I understand it's the entertainment part of it, but here again, if you're making them big dollars and you're not doing the basic fundamentals, you're not living up to that contract. I mean, it's good that they can pay it to you and they offer it to you, but you're not living up to it. You're stealing the money. Because if you can't shoot free.
Go ahead. I was going to say, you said you can't shoot free throws. I'll say this. I agree with you. My only problem with that, what the whole thing is, the management. I mean, there's so many bad people that make bad deals management-wise.
Thank you.
Know what I mean? There's so many. I mean, you go back to people want to be mad at LeBron for leaving Cleveland. They were horrible. They didn't have anybody for them to play with. So it goes away and everybody wants to get mad. But at some point, as a management or even an owner, you're paying guys to manage your team, and they're giving guys money or signing guys to make no sense, and there's no chemistry, and then you expect to win championships. Not going to happen.
Well, you know, in the contrast to all of that, what we're talking about is, you take somebody to San Antonio Spurs. Let's just use them for example. The fundamentals and the fundamentals are still there. It's not all about the hype. It's all about what, you know, the media is talking about. They come out there and they play fundamental basketball, fundamental sound basketball. The reason why it's not popular is just based on just that. It's because they're kind of union busters. They're not going the trend that everybody else is going, where it's about putting this commodity on the floor. And the fact of the matter is, when you say stealing money, the thing is, they came in there not being able to hit free throws.
Right.
They ate the contract with this team by, they understand, they had their free throw percentage was when they came to the team. And they still signed them. So now what's my incentive? You tell me I need to work on that, and I'm getting, I don't know, $10 million a year, which is more money than I ever seen in my life. So, and I came in here based on that premise. They ain't no incentive for me to work on it. Now, they put a performance clause in there to say that you have to maintain this percentage of free throw shooting and all that. Then they will start to understand it. But they're not going to understand it if they're inking contracts with that being their, one of their, you know, shortcomings. They ain't going to get it.
No, I agree with that. I just think that it makes the package of the league itself real weak. I mean, I remember years ago, I mean, we were talking about contracts. Remember, yeah, I forgot what team gave it to him. Remember, what was it, Howard? Yeah, he's on the bench now. I guess the assistant coach, whatever, with the Heat. He got a $100 million contract years ago. Allen Houston was another one. The Knicks gave a $100 million contract.
Right.
That wasn't worth it. Couldn't really do much. Mm-hmm. But they pour out this money because they were nice guys. But when you give people that type of money that don't really consistently do the fundamentals and take the game to a new level, a different level, like the Lajuans, like the Jordans, that took it to a new level, that's when the game suffers because you're overpaying for mediocrity. I mean, they're coming in, they can't do this, they can't shoot. I mean, you're down to 2 seconds in the game, you don't know who to get the ball to. You got five guys on the court, and you don't know
right.
who should take the last shot. But you all knocking down $5 to $10 million a year.
Right.
It's not interesting. One, it's like when NBA have the league package. You want to? I would love to buy the NBA league package for different games around the league. But I'm serious. You scroll through the games. There's just about 8 games per night you can watch, and half of them you don't even want to watch.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, and I agree with you. But here's one thing you got to factor into. I'm willing to wager that we're at the age we are, and there's a based on a level of, you know, growth, maturity. We've been there, seen that. But you understand the league is actually based on, and they're catered towards their audience being the younger generation. By the time the younger generation starts to see it the way we see it, and the world gets pulled from over their eyes, another generation is coming right behind them. So that's what they're basing it on. They're saying to take it to another level is to bring in another new face, another new rising star. That's in their mind. That's what they're looking at. It used to be a player would come and stay with their team like a Tim Duncan or Magic Johnson, but now with the level of free agency and all that, and players jumping around and moving around, they don't even look for that. They're looking for who's going to be the next, and they even say it, LeBron, the next Kobe, the next such and such. So what we're looking at is, what you're saying is, I agree with you, but we're looking at it from we're mature adults now. The league is catered towards the younger generation. That's why how they're able to sell shoes. That's how they're able to sell paraphernalia. That's how they're able to have people watching games and watching the game for the star player as opposed to the fundamentals that we're speaking of now. That's what it is. That's basically what it is. The league, they already know that. They already know what their target audience is and the average age associated with it. That's just what I think. So they're going to continue to be able to regenerate because as the generation right here gets a little older, they start feeling like, man, the quality of the game is gone. I remember Kobe used to be this and yada, yada, used to be that. And now all this stuff, by the time they start talking that, the younger generation is replacing that generation and seeing it
right.
from a naive point of view.
Right.
That makes sense.
Right. I think you're right. I think you look at the situation that's about to happen when Cleveland makes that trade and sends Wiggins to Minnesota. I mean, they're going to lose a lot of games, but he's going to be the guy that'll be averaging a lot of points, making probably a lot of mistakes. He'll have a shoe contract, and he'll do well because people like him. And even though Minnesota lose, the younger generation will say, oh, man, we love Wiggins because he can run and jump and do that 360 dunk, but they still losing 52 games.
Yeah. It's what it is now. It ain't like it used to be before where they built a team and you had your team and the star player stayed with that team. It doesn't even happen that way. Now they just move from team to team based on who's being projected or being highlighted as a star, like a LeBron. Yeah. So now everybody who's Miami Heat fans gonna move and be, most of them, those young generations, gonna be Cleveland fans.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And to me, there is no more loyalty in team. I mean, you guys are right that you could count on a player getting drafted on a team and staying there for the whole career back in the day. No more. It doesn't happen that way anymore. So my question is that if players aren't going to be loyal to teams and there's no loyalty within the league among the players and the teams, then why, as fans, are we still loyal to these teams? It's a rhetorical question. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
And you don't stop. Yeah. Going out to my man Jovi Cho, Grandmaster Supreme and all that. My name is Diamond. Yep, you guessed it. Ran 1,000 teams and I've never been arrested. I guess I'm lucky cause I'm young and I'm a black man. And intelligent, so everything is relevant. Vision is clear, don't have to wear contacts. Not a good lawyer, no shorts in my contract. Beats are selected with the highest scrutiny. I played Mr. Christian and just take mutiny. Cause this is my destiny. A lot of brothers keep testing me, but you haven't heard the best from me. So remember one thing. Ayo, it ain't no thing but a chicken wing. Huh. Yeah, so sit back and listen to the chit-chat. Sweet as a Kit Kat. Tommy, where'd you get that beat from? Yo, Jazzy Duck in the crate needs another loop, so we added a flute. Then it came together and I grabbed the pen. Then I double-checked it. For what? Loose pins. The object of a song is to keep your head moving. Hope you find a good A&R, man. Ha. A lot of acts get signed. And when the album comes out, everyone says, aw, man, take that record off. Don't waste my time. Due to that fact, I went for mine. And I went for mine.
You're in tune to the Boom Squad Sports Radio Show. Yours truly, Puma with you, the Flat Thor, D. Django, because the D ain't silent, and Ice Water. We're having some great sports conversation. I don't want to get away from the NBA, but let's talk a little bit about the USA team, because the final cuts come on Thursday. Have you guys been keeping up on the USA team when they play Brazil in Chicago on Saturday and them getting ready to play another exhibition game on Friday night in Madison Square Garden? Have you guys been keeping up with that?
A little bit for me, a little bit. Not much. And since Durant left, I'm about done. No, I'm just playing.
Oh.
Because you had some major stars pull out. You had Kevin Durant pull out. Kevin Love pulled out. Blake Griffin was hurt. LaMarcus Aldridge pulled out. Russell Westbrook shouldn't have been there. He's been injured on and off. See, he shouldn't even have been there. Of course, Paul George suffered a leg injury. And so I look at this roster, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, and I think I said it last week. I don't know about this roster. I don't know if they can win anything. And I don't even know if players, there's some rumblings or some rumors that Steph Curry is like, you know what? If I don't get picked on the team, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just say this, that I still believe deep down inside, and I might be wrong, because maybe it's a conspiracy-type theory, but I think, and to watch Kevin Durant's reaction when he saw George get hurt, was like the look of horror on his face, like, man, I don't know what the heck is going on. I gotta get the hell out of here. I'm serious. He had that look like, man, nah, bro, I'm straight. And I know he gave his other reason. I would never doubt him for that. But he had that look like, bruh, nah, I'm gone. I'm gone. I'm out. He just had that look, and I'm like, wow. And when they said a couple days later that he was done, I wasn't surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I think after this time around, that team's going to lose a lot of its luster. I think the next go around, you're going to see a lot of players run away from it as running to it like they did in the past. I'm not planning to pay attention. I just can't. It just doesn't. I'd rather watch the little league girl pitch baseball, and I'm not even a baseball fan, but I can't get into it. But I do think next time around, it's going to lose its luster. I think a lot of players, and I mean, Durant said what he said, but let's be honest. You watch somebody get hurt like that, you're looking at a contract a year or two from now, you're not playing. You're going to come out and not play. I mean, you can sign it up and say what you want for PR reasons, but somewhere in the back of your mind, you're thinking, that could be me. And I'm sure with all that's going on, it's going to start to lose its luster. It's not going to be the same. Where players are going to be running, trying to knock down the door to get that medal.
Yeah.
I think your agents at some point will start saying to them, avoid it. It's not worth
it. I agree. I think it's just, I agree with you, but I think that, you know, it's unfortunate because, you know, they just try to associate it with, you know, a level of patriotism and you know, pride in your country you represent and all that. But at the end of the day, what sits in the balance and what you're risking is your ability to be able to, you know, maintain the requirements for your contract, which is how, you know, your bread and butter. And so, yeah, I agree with you. I think that it's going to lose us. You know, it's going to take something for it to come back strong. I think that a lot of players are starting to see it for what it is, and it's just what it is, man. You won't see no more dream teams and stuff like that anymore.
I agree with you. I guess the one thing that I always thought, and I know people say, well, you can't do that now because that's why they came up with the dream team. But I really thought that they should have kept on the path. I mean, the dream team was great, but I had no problem with them letting some of these college players play, man.
There you go.
If you get the right coach,
thank you.
And the right chemistry, they can still play with these NBA players.
Thank you. Yes.
You know, and I was so mad when they went to, we just blowing everybody out. I'm like, put the
thank
young
you.
Guys in there. They're hungry. They want to play. They want to play.
Yes.
I don't know if I co-signed that, because let me tell you why. Because it goes back to what we were just talking about a little while ago. Okay? It goes back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago. What you have is back when you had the college players and they weren't trying to just jump in the league before their skills were fully developed. They had the fundamentals to shoot and hit freaking free throws and some of the basics. Then, yeah, I think college players can compete. I don't see that now. I don't care who you have as coaching. I think it's the same problem. And I think that's something that's going to be rears ugly head when you start talking about on an international level. You got some good college players, don't get me wrong. But let's be real. They're moving through the college ranks so quick to, I don't think they're ready sometimes for international level. I just don't. And that's the problem. We're trying to fast-track everything now. You know, this new age of technology where you click on something and it's there, we start to think that we don't need to put the time and the effort in to focus on the fundamentals so that when you, no matter what level it is, you're able to compete at a high level. So I just think, I don't know if I agree with that one. That's
well,
not exactly the dream team.
I mean, I understand. I guess my only issue, though, why I think that it still might be feasible. I mean, you're going to have young guys that leave after the first 2 years or first or second year or whatever, but I still think there's enough core veterans or guys that play long enough in 3 years or whatever that could really compete. And I guess the thing that really bothered me was I was glad to see the dream team, and I'm glad we were able to show the dominance on that level. But then after a while, it just kind of got corny to me. It really did. It got corny. I mean, because it was like we were so dominant, then we would lose. And then, oh, we got everybody to get everybody else again. I'm like, well, make a decision. Or let, I guess what I'm saying is, instead of having your stars on there, let people on the team that want to play. Instead of feeling like they're obligated. You know, there are a lot of guys that want to play. So let them play. I don't know. It's just, you know, you just feel like we got to have LeBron out there. LeBron is, I mean, so many times he's done this tour. Let somebody else play now.
Yeah, but I agree with your point about the college players. I mean, some of the ones and done's, I wouldn't send them over there anyway. I think you can find enough college players that's been in, you know, a college program for 3 years that can play well enough. I'm not saying they're going to take down the goal, but at least they can be competitive and show a good force. And I think it would be a good thing for college kids. And that's the point. We, as Americans, we feel like we got to dominate, win, and show all the time our problems. That's what turned me off. I just can't see every time we got to go over and prove to the world we can do this. It's not necessary. And let's go back. And that's why I think the college kids would be a little better. Take out of all that, well, we got to go show. Let the college kids, if you're in school for 3 years, you're eligible to go play. And if you reach the requirements of your game, the fundamentals are sound, put them on the floor, let them play. If you lose, so what? Yeah. At least they gain valuable life experience, and you give them something for playing hard, as opposed to sending these knuckleheads over here that they're making big money. They can really care less. They're hoping that's going to spin into something that they're going to make money down the road. You know what I mean? So I'm like,
I agree with you. It's just that again, you know, money is the root of all evil, and so that's what they focus on. It's the revenue associated with it. And that's what always what we're talking about, from players moving quick, and I'll sum it up on my side, but players moving in quick, players not having the fundamentals, not having all the fundamentals, it's all about revenue. That's really what we're talking about here. United States has set the perspective and set the perception that we set the standard for everybody. So we can't stomach just bringing in a mediocre team and we went to the final, we went to the semifinals and lost. No. That's what it is. It's all about that.
Okay. Now, you guys brought up an interesting point. And here's my question, because I was watching a documentary last night, and it was the first time I was able to see it. And I know I had this discussion in many classes, one of the classes I teach, when we talk about the NCAA and whether college athletes should be considered employed or paid or not. I was watching this documentary called Schooled. I don't know if anybody on this has seen that. But if you haven't seen that documentary, please get on Netflix or try to find it. And it talks about how the NCAA is really exploiting players that play football and basketball because these schools are making so much money. And it kind of explains why some of these athletes get in trouble with stealing and violating some of these rules. I think they were talking about there were over 400 rules in this rule book. And these players don't know all the rules, so they're violating these things all the time. But some of the players, Aaron Foster was one of the players that was on there, and he explained the situation where he was a running back at Tennessee. He had this great game at Tennessee. They won the game. I can't remember how many touchdowns he won. And after the game, it was a great victory. He showered, came out, signed autographs, went home to his dorm room with his other roommates who were football players and went in the refrigerator to get something to eat, and there was nothing to eat. And him saying, there's something wrong with this. I just came from this big victory where everybody, 70,000 people cheering me, and I'm on top of the world, but I'm getting home and there's nothing to eat. I have poured my heart out for 6 hours, pregame, in the game, and after the game, and now there's no reward. And so he said he called the coach and said, listen, we're about to do something really stupid if you don't feed us. So their coach brought over 50 tacos to feed them, which was a violation of rules, and fed them tacos. But he admitted, hey, I don't care if I'm investigated or not. Yeah, I used to get paid from boosters and things of that sort. And so it seemed to me, watching this documentary, that this thing had been a setup. And so let me get some feedback from you guys. Should these athletes be paid or considered employees of these universities?
Can I just say real quick, I got a quick scenario.
Okay.
I did a paper on this a long time ago. The Georgetown University, before they blew up with all of their basketball prowess, they would average about $1 million a year in revenue for the basketball program, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So after 4 years, that would generate $4 million. You still with me?
Yeah.
When Patrick Ewing got there and played 4 years,
absolutely.
That went from four to a total of $32 million in 4 years.
Yep, I remember that.
$32 million. That's a $28 million hike in revenue to the school. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Wow. I remember that. I remember that. Yeah. I'm sorry, man. NCAA, those some slick thugs. That's all it comes down to. I mean, they stood on that premise for years. Well, we're paying you, we're giving you a free education. That might have worked 20, 30 years ago. It's just not realistic anymore. It's not. I mean, it's not enough. I mean, I don't even want to pay them as professional players, but it's not enough anymore. It's not. When you're making big dollars off everything, because I remember Shabazz with UConn said the same thing. I mean, he's after the champion, won the championship. There's many nights he went to bed hungry.
Mm-hmm.
How's a college student? Seriously, you go on to bed at night with nothing to eat, but yet you got to wake up in the morning, get good grades. You got to practice all this. But the university is taking in huge sums of money, huge. Where's that money going? That's the big question. Where is it going? And when a college pulls that much money in, and we ain't even talking about even UConn, the money they're pulling in, and at the same time, every year they're going with a rate increase for the students that have to pay. So where's all this cash going? Where?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it makes you wonder. Yeah. I know it's funny, but it makes you really, really wonder, and it's sad, but it's almost like a farm slave system. I don't care how they want to sprinkle it and change it. It's been that way for a while. I think they mm-hmm. years ago their intentions were right when they would give you an education, but when they started seeing all these new avenues of revenue coming in, they just started perpetrating. We're going to keep saying the same old thing. I'm going to fatten our pockets, and it doesn't work anymore. That's old. It's out. It's outdated, and it's going to take something. I know they're working around the courts. But it's going to take something to where players in actuality that are actually signed to go to these schools have some type of revolt where they just don't play, shut it down. It's going to take something that drastic, in my opinion, that serious to bring forth change. Because the courts are going to keep a pill on, they're going to go back and forth, they're going to do all this. Even the one where Al Bannon came out now, he's going to get $5,000.
Yeah.
$5,000 to that. That's nothing. And they're still appealing that. They still don't want to roll up and say, yeah, we're going to give you that. So it's going to take something that they really have to come together and really do something to really smack them hard, because they're making big money. Big money. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, huge. What they're paying that one person to go to school for 4 years compared to what they're earning off your back, your sweat, and your blood is nothing. Nothing.
Yep.
Go ahead. They were doing a piece, that same piece. It's called Schooled. And they were talking to Ed O'Bannon, and he was saying how his friend bought the game on Xbox 360, and he bought the NCAA game, 09, and they had the UCLA 85 championship team on there. I had the game. And you could go take the championship team and play other teams on the computer. And they had number 31. They didn't have his name. They had all his basketball moves. They had his likeness. They had his gestures, everything. And his friend was saying, I paid $59.99 for this game. And none of the game's money goes to you. But there you are on this game. In the facial features, it looked like him, everything. But this guy wasn't getting paid a cent, and a lot of them in NCAA football and in basketball. But watching this feature or this documentary, I couldn't help but think that this is really exploiting the black athlete, because the biggest revenue generators in college are football and basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it's the reason why Chris Webber's still talking about why people still buying number 4 at the University of Michigan, and it doesn't even have a name on the back of it. We know what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they did a documentary on 30 for 30, the Fab Five, and they were talking about the same thing. So now I understand why these players are like, okay, after 1 year, I'm out of here.
Yeah,
I'm not, if I got a chance to get paid, I'm going to go get paid, and I'm going to eat, and I'm going to live life. So I'll play with
feed
you for 1 year, but after
that.
1 year I'm out. What's that?
Yeah, feed your family and all that.
And, you know, one thing we haven't mentioned and discussed, you know, I can tell you just from Duke University, they also get paid, if I remember right, for Coach K coaching the Olympic teams and those teams like that, they get paid for that too.
Yeah.
They get paid. So, and all that stuff that he's done, even though he's obviously not, he's coached those players, but he still stays and has to get the big salary. When those coach players go in the league and fizzle out, you know, or might not even make it in the league, he's still getting paid based on the fact of the performance or the product that they put out there on that court. You know, that's what I'm saying. It's exploiting. It's exploitation to the highest degree it is. I agree with
you. Oh, yeah. You're a coach of a let's say Kentucky. I'm not sure exactly what John Calipari's making, but he's got to be making what, $5-6 million a year now.
Yeah,
You're coaching a bunch of men that's bringing you $5-6 million. Yeah, and I like John Calipari. So I'm just picking him out because he popped in my head. But you're coaching a bunch of young men where you're making $5-6 million off their blood, sweat, and tears, and they're making a dime.
Yep.
With the hopes they're going to make it to the NBA. With the hopes that they're going to make it to the NBA.
Yeah.
If a Martian would come down and see the wrongness in that. Really. I mean, realistically.
Yeah.
It's blatant.
Yep. Yeah, they don't mention the track record because he brings in revenue, so they don't even mention the pedigree and the track record.
Blatant. They had Jim Calhoun. I remember a couple of years ago, a reporter asked Jim Calhoun, when the state was going bad, was going through the recession, a reporter asked Jim Calhoun, do you think it's fair that he earns, everybody else's salary got reduced in state workers or whatever, and he's earning $2 or $3 million a year. Because, and Jim Calhoun went off. But it's a good question. Mm-hmm. You at a state university, everybody else is getting their salary reduced, and you're getting $2 to $3 million when everybody else can barely put milk on their table. You're making $3 million a year to coach players to throw a ball through a hoop. Yeah. That's what it could.
Wow.
And that's not talking the outside money he's making. That was years ago. That's not talking the outside money, but here again, you're coaching a bunch of players with dreams that they just want to get to where the NBA. I mean, we know of the Ray Allens that came from UConn that made it, and some of those, there was a bunch that came to UConn that went to the NBA, that they didn't fare well. And I hate to think about what those brothers are doing now. But Jim Calhoun's living well. He barely speaks good English, but he's living well.
Yep. I agree with you, bro.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, that's some stuff. But, you know, they play on the innocence of, you know, you wanted to get somewhere. You want to try. They know these players are trying to get to point A, B, you know. So, they sell that to you, and that's a big racket. Huge. Huge.
So
much money involved with that. It's crazy.
One of the things that I found out, and I didn't know this before I watched the documentary, is that each of the players have to sign a year contract every year.
Oh, yeah.
1 year.
Yeah.
And so University of Maryland today just released that they are starting to guarantee scholarships for student-athletes until they graduate, regardless if they get injured on the field or their performance. Because what used to happen is that if you got injured or you didn't perform well, it was the coach's decision to let you go.
And your scholarship
regardless of whether or not, regardless of whether or not you were doing well in class. And so University of Maryland, kudos to them, they guaranteed the scholarship. So if we give you a scholarship, it's guaranteed regardless of whether or not you get injured or your on-field performance.
And, yeah, just keep in mind, I think part of that probably they would have incentive to do that for more than one reason. One, because they're no longer affiliated with the ACC. And two, more reason why they were going to go ahead and implement something like that is because they're not affiliated with the ACC. And so they got to attract, you know, athletes to their program, because when you drop out of ACC, you know, your exposure and contract as far as TV and all that stuff like that starts to diminish a little bit. So they got to do something to entice athletes to come there. So just something to think about.
Yep, they can get lost, like you said, switching over conferences. And then particularly if they don't come with it in regards to the with the level of play for their athletic teams. So, I mean, if they don't come with it in the Big Ten, like you said, a lot of people may not be watching them, which is going to hurt them in regards from revenue.
Yeah. They just got to make sure they can track and continue to be able to, you know, to entice and bring, you know, athletes in there. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think the NCAA is really pushing back on paying these players? Because other corporations pay their employees. Even student government presidents at universities get a stipend because they work for students. Graduate students get a stipend for the work they do.
I think they know that it's the tip of the iceberg. I think that there's a lot of implications that if they turn that curve, it's going to be the floodgates and open a lot of things that we're not aware of. That's what
I think
that's a wild thing. There's a point of coming to you and eyes and, you know, players wanting you. All that type of stuff starts to come into play. And they've looked at historic, you know, the trends in this history to realize that, well, if we start doing this, we got to address a whole lot of other things that they're able to stomach. That's just what I think. I think it has more to do. It ain't just about paying the players. It's the stuff associated with it.
Okay. I agree with you. That's what you just throw the word amateur out. You throw the word amateur right out because of the fact that you talk about paying players, doing whatever, the word amateur is out, and then they cannot make the money that they've done before. Like I tell you very quickly, I look at the 100,000 people that come to Ohio Stadium in Columbus every Saturday for football games. And before they sell a jersey, before they sell popcorn, before they sell anything, they make over $1.7 million just off the tickets alone. Every Saturday, bro. Every Saturday.
And if you consider it, you got to think, if they start that, then what's going to be the governing factor for teams who, like you said, on the football level, who have a higher profit margin? So what's going to govern them being able to offer athletes more money than, let's say, another university that may not have as high a profit margin? So there has to be a level of governance associated with it and everything.
Well, work for different companies, so certain companies can offer you more than other companies. I mean, it's competitive. So different from that.
I don't think they're ready to accept that. I think that's going to, I can see where that would be an issue. I can also see where, you know, if you look at it and you start to try to govern, you know, the amount that you pay these athletes, then you start to get these bidding wars and all this other stuff that has nothing to do with academia, which then you got to start questioning, like I said, agents even more so. Agents don't want to get paid more to bring you athletes, you know, as opposed to before. Yeah, they just want to do that. You're going to have all this stuff going on. Like I said, I don't think they're ready for that. That's just my opinion. I think it's more to it than just simply paying the athletes because it's warranted. It's the other stuff that's going to come along with it that I don't think they're ready for. I really don't see them being ready for it.
Right. I agree with you real quick, too. Let me just real quick. Also, too, that if that happens, like you're saying, then you will never see Butler ever in a championship game again. You can write that down, bro, because it's about to cash.
Right. Wow. That's a good point.
Wow. So should all athletes from all athletic teams and sports get paid or just football and basketball?
See, that's another point right there. That's what I'm talking about. See, starts to have implications in everything. Wait a minute, so why doesn't softball players get paid? Okay, so why does also get paid? That's what's going to happen. How are they ready for that?
They're not because the big revenue sports are the ones that are carrying them, and at the same time, I mean, they just can't make it happen. That's why they don't. I think, in my opinion, I think they should just increase the stipends, man, so these kids can start to live a little bit. And
right.
Because once you open up that can of worms, it's going to be a Pandora's box, and they will never get it back.
That's what I think.
Yeah. It's going to blow up at some point. Yeah, it's going to get real ugly and blow up at some point. But it's coming. I don't know when. I don't know how, but it's coming. You can see it starting to come. It's starting to turn. It's starting to come.
Yeah, because they're going to form unions. I mean, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Coming.
They're going to form unions. I don't think it should be avoided. But here's what I think the NCAA should consider doing and doing right away. Getting their brain trust together and think about how they can allocate these funds, because it's not going to be equal with different universities. It's just not. And they're different corporations. They're businesses. Schools won't tell you this, but schools are big businesses.
And that's what it is.
They are.
I mean, they're just carrying on
this illusion that they're not businesses,
exactly.
But they are businesses.
My thing is, I mean, I agree with the points that, you know, they don't know how to handle different things, but the bottom line is they don't want to come off a dime. It's just, agreed. They don't want to come off a dime to give anything else. They want to keep it all in-house and not really share it. But I don't think they know how to. But I don't think they want to come off a dime.
I think what they should do, though, I'll be honest with you, I think there could be a happy medium on it. I don't think you need to pay them. But I think what they should do, they should make either provisions or allowances and not consider that a violation for athletes. That's what I think. So when you start talking about, let's just, based on the premise of what we first started this discussion, is, okay, players being hungry after the game. All right, that should never happen. Let's just be real with it. Should never happen. I don't care what they say. That's one. I think that, you know, there's some things they could put in place. They could put in place to be able to take care of athletes. Now, beyond that would be you're either abusing the system or you're trying to, you know, you're taking a little bit too far. I think by offering them some of those things, I think they'd be better off. I think it would be better off all across the board. Now, if it's going in the trend that you all foresee it going, which, I can see it probably is, I'm telling you, if you think the product that we're seeing on the pro level is bad now, I predict it's going to be worse if they do this. Because the reason why I said it is because, think about what we were saying earlier. It's based on, these guys are going based on the amount of revenue and money that they stand to save to make. That's what it is. So if you're already starting to get a glimpse of that and a taste of that on the college ranks, I really think it's going to be worse. They're not going to be as hungry. I'm not saying they're going to get paid big contracts, but they're going to get lost. I think that's what keeps it hungry. That's what keeps the college sports level as competitive as it is. And you can say, well, I don't see where that's going. I'm telling you, I think it's going to have an impact on the pro level if they decide to do that. I think it's going to be unfortunate. They just got to find a way to take care of them without paying out salary. That's just my opinion.
Okay. We're not going to resolve this today. I think we can pick this up. I'm pretty sure we can pick this up next week. But if you guys haven't seen it, look for the documentary Schooled, and it will open your eyes to a lot of things. Thank you, gentlemen. It's been great talking to you. Man, I'm going to have to increase the time for this show or make it on a couple of days because I really enjoyed talking to you guys and enjoy these 2 hours. So we will see you next week on the Goon Squad. Take care.
Bucka. You know the deal. This is me, though. Beast by Supremo for all of my people, Negroes and Latinos, and even the gringos. Yo, check it, one for Charlie Hustle, two for Steady Rock, three for the four coming live, future shot. It's five dimensions, six senses, seven firmaments of heaven to hell, 8 million stories to tell, nine planets faithfully keep an orbit with the probable depth, the universe expands length, the body of my text possess extra strength, powerlifted, powerless, up out of this towering inferno, my ink so hot it burned through the journal, I'm blacker than midnight on Broadway at Myrtle, hip-hop passed all your tall social hurdles like the nationwide projects, prison industry complex, working class poor, better keep your alarm set, streets too loud to ever hear freedom ring, say it back in with your sleep, it's dangerous to dream, but your chain cats get they chip, you dead now, killing fields need blood to graze the cash cow, it's a numbers game, but shit don't add up somehow, like I got 16 to 32 bars to ride. pocket, but only 15% of profits ever seen my pockets. Like 69 billion in the last 20 years spent on national defense, but folks still live in fear. Like nearly half of America's largest cities is one quarter black. That's why they gave Ricky Ross all the crap. 16 ounces to a pound, 20 more to a key. A 5 minute sitting here and then you no longer free. 40% of Americans own a cell phone, so they can hear everything that you say when you ain't home. I guess Michael Jackson was right.